Hello to all of you. I hope that you are having a wonderful day. Our encouraging word for the day comes from Acts 10 and verse 33. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. In this moment, Cornelius is speaking to Peter after he invited the apostle to his home in Caesarea. Acts 10 records the moments that led up to the gospel being preached to Cornelius and the rest of the Gentiles that were there with him. And it tells us that the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard him preach, and they were baptized. I'd like to look at this verse and use this verse to talk to you for a few minutes about gospel meetings and the value of gospel meetings. If you're unfamiliar with that term, a gospel meeting takes place when a local congregation invites a preacher to come and to preach a series of lessons to them. First of all, this invitation from Cornelius is not called a gospel meeting anywhere in the Bible. He didn't send flyers in the mail to all the surrounding churches and fire off an email to everyone that he knew. But though it's not called a gospel meeting in the Bible, I hope you can see with me that that's really exactly what it is. Cornelius, his family, and his friends met together to hear the gospel preached. That's what a meeting is for. Second, gospel meetings have great value for all those who choose to come to those meetings with a desire to be strengthened in the Word of God, to worship God with the saints, and to encourage everyone who has come. When a meeting is held by the church, it provides them with an opportunity to reach out to the community, and that's a really big part of this as well. We do send out little notes in the mail that say we're having a meeting, we're bringing a preacher in to talk about a particular subject, and we think that there is an attraction and a draw to those who say, I'm interested in that subject, or I've always wanted to know what the Bible teaches on that topic. So it's a great opportunity to reach out to the community. But the reality is, meetings give all of us a chance to grow in the knowledge of God's Word. Think of it this way. The local church has invited another man to come and present a series of lessons on a particular topic. He's invited because he's really good at what he does, and the congregation believes that he will give additional insight and understanding to what the regular evangelist has already been teaching. A visiting preacher who is faithful to the Word will bring a new voice and a fresh perspective, and that is always encouraging to the saints who meet there regularly. Gospel meetings always give us a special opportunity. This is for individuals now. They always give us a special opportunity to examine our own lives in the light of Scripture. And the truth is, we all need that. James 1 and verse 21 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. It's one thing for me to lay out the reasons that we have meetings, to stress to all of you that anytime you're invited to hear the gospel, you'll certainly benefit from that, and that it's good to get out there and to meet other Christians. There are so many good reasons to attend. But let me share something with you that makes these points even stronger. I went to a gospel meeting at Oaks West in Burnet, Texas about a month ago. Mark Roberts was the visiting preacher, and he did a phenomenal job in all the lessons that I heard, and he always does. But he was there in mid-August. Personally, for me, I try to support their meetings in Burnet whenever they have one. It's encouraging to the members, it's encouraging to the preacher, and I get to renew the friendships that I have and that I enjoy there. Oaks West is full of wonderful people who love the Lord. They clearly love each other, and they are very kind and welcoming to all of their visitors. I'd like to tell you about one person that stands out to me who is a member there. She's very thoughtful, and she personifies all of the great things that a gospel meeting can produce. On a few of the occasions that I've been there for a meeting, She has made copies of something that she's written in preparation for that meeting. And she shares those single copy sheets with the members there and with visitors who happen to be there. Her name is Rachel, and she has a heart the size of Texas and a strong desire to serve God and His people. I want to read you this short note that she gave me and to the others who were there on the night of August 15th, 2023. The note says, "I love my church family. I love to see everyone's smiling faces. I love to hear the joyous laughter and heartfelt, sincere conversations. I love the feeling of belonging and acceptance and love. I love how we are all so different, yet we're all the same in our love of God and each other. I love watching the men shake hands and the women give hugs as they show each other how happy they are to see them. I love when visitors travel from so far away because they also love what I love. I love you. I love God. And I am thankful that you came. Love, Rachel." I have realized just recently, and probably because of Rachel, that through the years as a preacher, as I try to stress to others, the members here who attend with us, you know, the great importance of not the importance, the great importance and value of a gospel meeting for each one of us, that I tell them publicly and frequently that we've decided to hold this meeting. We're committed to this. It's very important that each and every one of you be there. And that's true because the preacher that we've invited, he's going to know. He's going to know immediately whether or not we just had another gospel meeting because it was time to do it again, or that we love the Word of God. And he's going to know that by our attendance, our enthusiasm, and how welcoming we are to him, and how we respond to each message that he presents. And I think, you know, that can't be faked. I can't make people do that because then it's not real, it's not genuine, and I'm sure that the preacher would see that as well. But as I stress this to others, there are just several things that come to my mind. One is, if the local church here holds a gospel meeting and we send those invitations out to the churches in the surrounding area, well, we've told them by the invitation that we want them to come. And so let's say some of them do come. What impact will it have on them if only half of our members showed up to the gospel meeting that we're holding? It shows them that we're simply going through the steps, and we're not, as a whole, we are not committed to God and His Word. That's all there is to it. It's the bottom line. And so I stress that to them. We can encourage the preacher. We can encourage the people that we've invited to come. If a visitor steps in to see this all happening for the first time, they will also see a building filled with Christians who love God, and they're going to see what that looks like, and we can be a shining light to the world. And so I stress that, and sometimes I'm frustrated that people don't respond the way that I want them to. And then here we are on the night of August the 15th this year. It hit me like a ton of bricks. There's a person here who truly enjoys these moments in time, and not just enjoys them and takes them home, but prepared in advance to write a note, to say something that would be encouraging to all those who came. And it's all right there. As I said, you can't force people to do that. But when someone else does it or shows that they love the Lord and they exemplify what Christianity is, but by just a small kind act, that makes the biggest impression of all. And so I want to thank Rachel for that note and for her willingness to do the things that she does to encourage those around her. In Acts chapter 10, an angel of the Lord came to Cornelius and told him to send for Peter. Then he assures Cornelius by saying, "He will tell you what you must do." In Acts 10 and verse 24, tells us that the following day, Peter and the brethren that were with him entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. So this brings us back to our encouraging word of the day. Acts 10 and verse 33. "So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God."